Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And I am Sam. Welcome, welcome. Well, Amanda.
Yes.
It has been a week. And if any of you follow us on Instagram, you've known kind of the chaos. So we are recording this on October 11th, which is just, what, maybe 2 days after Milton? I think it's still churning in the ocean.
Yes.
still doing its work. So essentially, if you've followed either of us, we were both incredibly impacted by this.
Yes.
Amanda, you had to evacuate.
Yes.
And my move
yes.
to the area got delayed.
Yes.
So we also want to come on here and say we're both okay.
Yeah.
Everything's good. Well, I guess I should speak to myself. I'm okay, emotionally wrecked, but we'll be fine.
We're very, very privileged to,
yes.
right? Like,
yes.
I'm very yeah. privileged that I was able to evacuate, that I have a safe place to go, yeah. All of that stuff. My heart, and then I'm so lucky and feel bad that my good luck of Milton moving south, right? Like negatively impacts everyone to the south of us. It is this really weird phenomenon where you hope for yourself, but your hope hurts other people.
We hold space for both. It is stuff. And I think just natural disasters like this are just so complicated for yeah. that very yeah. reason. You feel grateful that you're safe, but you feel devastated that some people are not. But regardless, with all of this said, which as you can imagine, we're probably about to dive into a little bit more. Amanda, I know you and I have been texting like all week talking about this whole thing. And there was a lot that came up for you as you were on social media seeing everything that was happening and the misinformation, the content.
Yes.
All of it was a lot. And so we realized we had to have a little bit of a discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to all give us some grace that, yes. like Sam said, we are recording this very quickly after it happened because we feel like this was an important topic to get out. So this may not be the most perfectly edited podcast, but this is a bonus episode and we wanted to get it out. And
yeah
I mean, I'm going to probably say I'm privileged like 100 times because I never, ever, ever want to come across as not acknowledging that and being so grateful. Like I'm probably someone who is in terms of the scale of being impacted, although I was impacted from evacuating and not having childcare and all of that stuff. Like I am probably one of the least impacted people because I have a safe place to go. But I think it was just wild as someone who lives in St. Pete. I've lived there for a few years. My family has lived there for 10 years. For those of you who don't know, St. Pete is across the way from Tampa. Mm-hmm. No one knew what St. Pete was, but maybe after – I feel like potentially after this, people will know.
Yeah.
But I just have never seen – I mean, it started with Helene, but I have never seen – and obviously Asheville was hit so much harder, so much yep. more devastation. There's yep. so much that could go into that that we're not even going to have time to talk about. Right. But – I have never seen misinformation like this before, and I know we've been saying for a while, or people have been saying that it is getting worse. Like the wars are now going to be fought through conspiracy theories and misinformation and battling all of that. But normally when natural disasters happen, at least in this country, people come together on some level. This was so crazy to see just the misinformation and the damage that social media can cause. I think what we always say is we share kind of the one side and the other side and the nuance. So maybe I'll start there. At least with this hurricane, what I will share, like the extreme side is people who were the influencers, like the hurricane mm-hmm. influencers. I have never seen anything like that in my life. Even during COVID, yes, there were like influencers that did bad things during COVID where they like – I'm thinking of people who got tons of tests when tests weren't around and they like would be irresponsible by like running around right. or doing things like that. But these people were purposefully putting themselves in harm's way or pretending to get likes and views. And that is just wild. Like, I don't normally let myself watch content that I don't support because I try to practice media literacy and yeah. don't want to feed the problem. Right. But there were people who knew that they needed to evacuate, who purposely didn't, who were creating content. Like Caroline Calloway, if you know much about her, we don't have time to get into her. She is like an influencer whose whole MO is sort of are you familiar with Caroline Calloway?
Barely.
How would you describe her? Like her whole thing is just doing ridiculous things on purpose and you can't tell whether it's a joke or not, mm-hmm. sort of. And she is just shameless. But she was like, I'm staying in my Sarasota first floor apartment that's oceanfront and I'm not going to leave because last time I evacuated for Helene, it was really traumatic because I didn't have power for like 3 days and I didn't have to evacuate. So if I die, buy my book because sales will go up. And I know she probably actually was not even in her apartment. Like she did a short little video being like, I'm fine. Everything's great. So that led me to be like, oh, girl, you probably filmed this the day before and maybe you evacuated or I hope you did. But like stuff like that, I expect it from Caroline Calloway a bit, but the other people who – literally were just being like, oh no, I don't know if I'll die or stay alive. Like there was a guy who was in yeah. St. Pete in a high rise who was just like walking around with a headlamp being like, I don't know guys, we'll see what happens. You know, I've just never seen anything like it. I've been talking for a while. What are your thoughts, Sam?
It was exactly as you and I were saying right when we were texting each other, which is mm-hmm. people get to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
If you choose in the middle of a disaster, a literal disaster, to not leave, stay where you are, choose to ride it out, fine.
Yes.
Also, there's a lot of people that don't have resources to leave or don't know where to go, or they are disabled and they can't get out, or they're having a hard time getting to a shelter. Like this is...
There were real barriers. Yes. Like people were stuck in traffic yes. and their car ran out of gas and it was horrible. Yes. So they're absolutely – you again, like we're very privileged yes. and we really, really are clear that it is
– yes.
in a lot of ways it can be a privilege to evacuate.
100%. And this is – again, we're also introducing like this is incredibly layered and incredibly nuanced. However, I think in just like responding to everything that you were saying –
yeah.
What feels particularly gross is to clearly be using a situation where there was the potential for hundreds of people to die.
Yeah.
That was a very real possibility, not to mention entire towns and cities being eviscerated from the map, right? Like we all got very lucky that it slowed down before. It was a Category 3 when it hit. There was the reverse surge in Tampa Bay, which saved yeah. Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And there are some horrible deaths on the east side of Florida from the tornadoes and things like that. And there is still catastrophic damage. However,
yes,
it seems that the worst of it was avoided. Yet, with all of that potential still there on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, when it was clear how bad this could really get, it's particularly disgusting to be like, oh my God, guys, like I'm going to stay and I'm going to keep you updated on like what happens. Like, it's not funny. It's not a joke. It shouldn't be something that's interesting. It shouldn't be something that is downplayed.
Yes.
And I think even though a lot of these influencers were thinking that they were adding to the news or adding to real life experience or what have you, part of the problem is I feel that those influencers fed into the misinformation machine, and people are looking to them from a very anxious space to be like, is it that bad? Is it okay? How are they doing? Now, you know, I was seeing content from other people who were feeling that they had to be like keeping tabs from like Michigan on these people to be like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what's going to go wrong. Like, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, I will die on the hill that it is particularly gross to use a situation like that for social clout.
Yeah. And I think you can just tell, right? Like,
yeah,
you can tell what they're, you know, because I'm sure someone could say like, well, we don't know what their intentions were. And yeah, that's true. But I think you can tell pretty well based on when they started posting content and like how privileged they were.
Yes.
Because it was one thing, because I like threw up in stories. I was talking to some people and I said like, did anyone do this well? Did anyone positively impact? And people pretty unanimously said people who were trying to just share what was going on. I think if something horrible happens and you want to share, I think the stories in North Carolina, for example, were so needed. Yes. So many people were not getting out. So many, like, news wasn't covering it in the way that it needed to be covered. There were people trapped. Like, that was needed. And I think a weird thing happened where because of everything that happened in Asheville happened, people almost saw this as an opportunity to be like, I'm going to provide value in some way, or even I'm going to get famous. I'm going to share, and this will be really good content. And I wonder if we hadn't had Helene, if it would have been this bad. Because I just think these back to back, because some of the stories from Helene in Asheville are so moving and so important and devastating.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like become this reverse thing of being like, oh, well, I'm going to put myself in a bad situation so I can become that, kind of. Or there are people who did not even put themselves in bad situations and pretended to for content, essentially.
I saw that in your stories you had also thrown up if people felt frustrated by the content. Were people coming back to you saying they felt frustrated as well?
Yes. I mean, everyone pretty much said what we've been saying, that they were disgusted, that it was terrible, that it was so clear. Like, what have we come to, that people are using this for clout? And people unanimously said, there was one woman, we'll tag her in the show notes, who is a pediatric EMT, I believe. Mm. She lives in St. Pete, I believe. And she was giving really helpful information, explaining like, what is a 3-foot versus a 5-foot surge? What is your elevation level? What do you do if you can't evacuate? What are some things to, how do you prepare? Like, really helpful things. And also encouraging people to evacuate if they can, and explaining the risks of not evacuating. Mm-hmm. So she was great. I'm sure there were a couple other people like that who did share and were helpful. But there was a lot of what I saw is like young white
kids in high rises.
Yes, kids in high rises especially, that were like, I'm going to film this all for you. And also like after it passed even, I saw some like very clickbaity them being like, I don't know guys, I might die. Like, we'll see. Keep watching for more. Like, purposely doing stuff like that, that really, to your point, Sam, made people incredibly anxious, scared, and made like, the hurricane was very serious. I'm not going to say it's not serious, but I'm also going to go into like the levels of seriousness of it, depending on where you live, because that's nuance, I think, that's missing on the other side. But these people purposely, like in high rises, or the most disgusting thing that you and I talked about and shared was, we saw a video of an influencer who looked like she lived in a very nice house, who didn't evacuate or said she didn't evacuate, writing in Sharpie her name and her kids' names and their like birthdays on their hands to sad music, being like, hopefully we don't die. If someone comes to get us and get my children, at least, you know, they wrote, they can contact us. And it was, as a parent, not only are you using your kids for clout, right, which we'll probably do an episode on because we have a huge problem with, but using them for clout in a natural disaster and potentially putting their life at risk so that you can get views. I mean, I hope this woman lived out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Like, but if that is actually the case, that is, even if you're pretending that's the case, that's disgusting.
I feel like, as you're talking and as we're kind of working through this, I find myself feeling incredibly frustrated because I think if we even like drill down a little bit further, I think on what was happening, we know for a fact that content that causes anxiousness, causes fear, causes uncertainty, causes confusion, gets highlighted by the algorithm. And I have said before, and I will say it again, that woman who is a pediatric EMT and is sharing information, that is calming and soothing to your nervous system. That gives you tangible action-based tips that you can take to save yourself, save the people that you love, respond appropriately. That is really the only type of content that should be on channels when something like that is happening, right? What is real? What you actually need to be concerned about, what you don't need to be concerned about, right? Like, that is information that leaves you feeling empowered and more prepared.
I think lots of people did not know how to prepare. And like, as someone who lives in Florida, I had to learn, I had to learn a lot about hurricanes that I never would know if I didn't learn that. And especially the preparation, a lot of times it's like very cheap and simple. And it's like, not everyone can get out. So we do need these resources that is helping. And it makes me think about COVID and how, as someone who like wasn't really working at the beginning of COVID and, you know, I was on social media already. I tried to be like, what can I do to help? And I like did post a lot on social media, but it was from the mindset of what can I do to help? And I think this is similar. The problem is we've been through all these situations now of like crises in the past few years. And people have seen how crises have like positively impacted people in a way that it has shifted in some ways from how can I help to how can I get likes and views and use this as a springboard to launch my account.
And I think the part that is causing me the most frustration in this conversation that we're having and the things that we've watched the last week is the way with which people were actively trying to encourage anxiety and fear. They were playing with the complete lack of control that everybody had in this situation. There's nothing you can do to control it. Because what was getting fed on my algorithm even more so were all of the people who were nowhere near Florida.
Yeah.
But we're so stressed about watching all of this stuff happen and people being like, Lieutenant Dan isn't leaving his boat. And like, which he's fine, by the way.
Because of the reverse search, and, to be clear.
Yeah, the reverse search. Thank God, Lieutenant Dan. So like all of these, you know, the people writing numbers on their baby's hands when we have zero context as to why they are choosing to do that and what their situation is. And people are like, these babies are like going to drown. I don't know what to do. I can't, like, there's nothing I can do. I can't help. And what I feel so frustrated with is when people do things that play on people's anxiety. I find it so gross. I find it so manipulative. And I'm sure if they were sitting in front of me, they would be like, that wasn't at all what I was doing. I never meant to do that. I wanted people to know. And it's like, right. But you also knew exactly how to craft the video to get the response.
If you're playing background sad Titanic music, you did that on purpose.
You know what you're doing. And you know how that is going to make people feel, women specifically. And my heart broke for all of these people who were posting about, like, I don't know what to do. I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so flooded. Like, that is such a horrible, helpless place to be. And I guess what makes me so disgusted and frustrated is that nobody is changing the way they mm-hmm. post their content. It's the same thing, even as it is becoming so much more obvious yeah. how harmful this stuff is. And, you know, sharing just like these random one-off opinions or like moments in time with absolutely zero context or nuance, and people just hear this horrible thing and it sends their anxiety into a spiral and people don't know how to get out. And then everybody's just like posting this tidal wave of anxiety and stress and uncertainty. And it really is like, I had to tell myself, mm-hmm. like, go touch grass, babe. Like on Tuesday afternoon, mm-hmm. I legitimately had to mm-hmm. shut my phone off. I shut off my social media and I was just like, I am literally going to sit mm-hmm. outside and touch grass because I was mm-hmm. feeling so flooded and overwhelmed, even with the level of media literacy that I'm really proud of having built and the, you know, ability to decipher like what is something I need to pay yeah. attention to and what is not. And yeah. I was flooded.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad for all of us who were kind of like having no clue what to do because there's literally nothing to do.
Yeah. All you can do is donate.
Literally all you can do is donate. And maybe if you have the time after the fact, you can go down and help join a cleanup crew. Like
yeah.
if you have the resources and the ability to take the time off to do that, mm-hmm. but there's literally nothing to be done. And I think another message I want to give to people, if you were someone who was feeling like really emotionally flooded and overwhelmed mm-hmm. by all the content you were getting, you are not a bad person because yeah. there was nothing you could do. You weren't missing out on something. You weren't doing something wrong. You weren't being selfish. You weren't leaning too far into your privilege because there was nothing for you to do.
Yeah, I think we have this whole issue too. We have more access. We're in touch with like billions of people. Our brains are not wired to be in touch with that many people or no. keep up with this constant state of crisis. It's just getting worse and worse because now we have for the first time firsthand accounts of right people in war mm-hmm. being bombed in hurricanes, yep. 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 all of that. It is so much. And I think it's really important, Sam, to say that, to say if there is nothing you can do, you sitting and making yourself miserable is not helping anyone. Mm-hmm. It's actually making you probably feel more powerless, more dysregulated. You are more – like they've done studies now and it shows that like if you hit a certain point of emotional overwhelm, you're going to freeze and be mm-hmm. less likely to take action, be less likely mm-hmm. to be involved. And I think we have a whole generation now of us feeling like we're doing things because we're watching stuff happen on social media. Mm-hmm. But we're not actually doing anything. And there's this whole idea of mm-hmm. if you don't watch, if you turn it off, if you set boundaries, if you take a break, you're a bad person, but you're not actually helping anyone or holding anyone's hand or emotionally supporting anyone by scrolling. You're just not.
Something that I absolutely love that Sharon says, all hail Sharon. She says, nobody is helped by you getting angry on the internet. And I think in this situation, I want to replace angry with anxious. And again, like these posts that we are talking about specifically were crafted to make you feel this way. They wanted you to feel a certain way so that you would continue to engage.
Yeah.
So none of this is me saying like, oh my God, it was your fault that you got anxious. No. You were responding the way they wanted you to respond and feeling that like burst of cortisol was sign number one mm-hmm. that someone is benefiting from you feeling that way mm-hmm. based on the content that you're watching. Mm-hmm. And so if you find yourself watching content like that and you are feeling so anxious and so flooded, I genuinely want to empower you to get off and do something that benefits you, your circle, and your community. Mm-hmm. Reach out to your friends. Check in on your friends. DoorDash somebody dinner.
Yeah.
Like, do something within your circle that makes you feel like you are helping.
Yep.
Even if in that exact moment you could not go down to, you know, Tampa Bay and try to convince
$10, $5, yes. $1 to an organization that's going
to
help.
You do not have to go down there and be with the first responder team that's convincing Lieutenant Dan to get out of his boat. Like, you do not have to do that. And
you're also probably not qualified to do that.
No. Yeah, please don't. Those conversations are horrible. I have been a part of those conversations. You don't want to be a part of those conversations.
I forgot. See, I'm working in, you know, in the emergency room.
I worked in the emergency room for 5.5 years, and I have met many Lieutenant Dans in my day. They're not leaving. They think we're the problem. So whatever. But I just really want to drive that point home that you do not have to sit there and feel miserably anxious. Mm-hmm. You do not have to sit there and feel like you are the worst person in the world simply because you happen to live in Oregon mm-hmm. or in New York or in Arkansas or Texas or wherever it was that you were that had nothing to do with the storm and weren't going to be impacted. Something that helped me was my friends just checked in on me. Mm-hmm. They texted me and they said, "How are you doing, buddy? Like, are you feeling stressed?" And I was like, "I'll be fine." You know, like, that was helpful. Mm-hmm. And I really encourage you, when, unfortunately, this happens again in some capacity, to use that awareness to say, "I am aware. I will get updates on the news apps on my phone. And it is not helpful for me to just sit here and doom scroll endlessly through this crisis."
Yeah. Can I also say, this might be slightly controversial, but I also don't think it was helpful to people who, and I think their intentions were good. I think these people were trying to connect with people and make people feel less alone. But I saw so many people that just were like, "Does anyone else feel so overwhelmed and horrible about Lieutenant Dan and this person and that person? Or I'm just a mom trying to like concentrate, but I have all these images of Asheville and this and that floating through my mind." Like, I think they were trying really hard to connect with people and provide people validation. But I don't think it's helpful to do that in the moment, because all you're doing is then people who didn't know about Lieutenant Dan go down a rabbit hole to figure that out, right? Or they I don't want to say this because I'm sure someone like I know did this, but I just think those posts, I think you have to check yourself and see if you're really trying to validate people, or you know this is like something that's going on that's a universal experience and you know it will do well.
The question to ask
– you can disagree with me, Sam.
I do agree. And I think – it's like you said, the intent, not a bad thing. Nothing wrong with wanting to be like, "Oh my God, this is horrible. Is anybody else watching this? Is anybody else feeling this way? Blah, 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 blah." To shoot that out into the universe where we know everybody online is deeply anxious, deeply worried, deeply overwhelmed, deeply flooded. The question that I would ask, if you find yourself feeling that way and you find yourself just kind of like desperately reaching out to see who is in your circle that you could talk to via text, via FaceTime, via WhatsApp, via whatever, Instagram DM, anything. Do you have people where you could have an actual real conversation that could feel supportive, that could feel validating, that could feel encouraging, right? Where you could both hold support for each other? Because part of the problem is it just gets chucked out on the universe. You see, you got 50,000 likes, comments mm-hmm. from people all just saying the same thing, and everybody is right back at square one by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm like, it would be one thing if you were like, if you're feeling really anxious about the hurricane like me, this is what I'm doing. Or something like that. But yeah, when it's – especially – I saw one video that just like had the clips intertwined with it of like Asheville and this and news clip. Like, it had all these news clips intertwined in it. And that's where it's just like – I just don't – like, my whole feed was those things of people freaking out about people or the people actually being in a bad spot, right? Like, My whole feed was this extreme polarization of influencers doing stupid stuff, people yelling at influencers for doing stupid stuff, right? Which is the other – we're going to get to the other, right? If this is one side is the influencers, the other side that we wanted to talk about is the backlash to the influencers. And then there were people who were just filming themselves crying about it.
It was chaos. It was my feed – it was, and you know what? If you're sitting here listening to us and you're like, my FYP was not that,
maybe it's because I'm in Tampa and you were planning on moving.
And I was planning on moving there. And so we got punished extra hard. Part of what Amanda and I were talking about, which brought us to the idea of just like recording this and getting all these thoughts out, is because I don't think this is going to be the last time this happens.
Yeah.
And I think to give you guys awareness and tools that if you were flooded, if you were overwhelmed, if you were going, what is actually happening?
Yeah.
You are not alone. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, kind of like walk you through and give you guys tools of how to manage that better mm-hmm. if and when it does happen again. Mm-hmm. It was chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into the backlash around the influencers, because I think – I don't know how I feel about whether – I mean, I think some of them, their, you know, their intent was not good and some of their intent was good. I think what was hard is there were lots of people, like the hurricane influencers, we'll call them, who were choosing not to evacuate on purpose for content. Right. There was like a woman who had this insane house that was like not leaving, and she was just
annoying.
Yeah. She was talking about how she was going to like replace her house again. Like, that is so privileged and so disconnected and so gross. And
nobody needs to know that. It's not helpful. No. It's helpful to zero people.
Yes. Yes. And then there were people who were like furious and screaming at people to evacuate. Mm-hmm. And then there were the people that were mad at those people being like, evacuation is a privilege. And in some cases, it can be, for sure. But as someone who lives there and can tell you some of the nuance, I also got frustrated by this 100% narrative that every single person in the state of Florida should leave and evacuate, or they are being – or they're putting everyone at risk, which is just categorically not true. There are different evacuation zones, and not everyone lives by the coast. Not everyone lives in an evacuation zone. So some people who weren't leaving and people were screaming at them may have been in an optional evacuation zone. Me personally, I am a nervous Nelly. I leave. I also have the privilege of being able to leave, and I work from home. So I always evacuate.
Right.
Because I want to. Not everyone can. Not everyone is asked to. Not everything is a mandatory evacuation. And I think that was missing on some level, is I just kept seeing people screaming at people that they were going to die. And to be fair, like, the mayor of Tampa did get on CNN and said, if you stay, you will die. What was missing from that clip was, if you stay in a mandatory evacuation zone, you are at risk of dying. But not everyone is. And I think that there was some like high horse, like there were a lot of people on their high horse being like, just leave. And then there were these other people being like, how dare you? It is, you know, it is a privilege. And one thing that I really saw that was missing is that no one talked about is there are also lots of shelters. Like, I saw people being like, the fact that this is coming and people are not helicoptering people out is a disgrace. No one can get out. There's like, there was a, I mean, I think Biden got on and said like, and even DeSantis was like, there is misinformation spreading, there's gas, you can get out. And I'm sure, like, I saw the lines. There was also a ton of traffic. People were running out of gas. Like, I get being scared and not wanting to do that. But I think we also have to be clear with the people who were just like, there's no gas, there's no way to get out. People need to be saved. The government is failing. There were free Uber rides. Uber was offering free rides to anyone who wanted to go to a shelter. There were free bus rides for anyone who wanted to go to a shelter. I mean, I've never been to a shelter, so maybe I can't say this, but I would imagine going to a shelter sucks. And I would never want to personally if I didn't have to. But I think we also need to be realistic about, some people didn't want to evacuate even though they were supposed to, because what I want to say is, like, comfortable evacuation is a privilege. Not all evacuation is a privilege. Some people did not want to go to a shelter. The shelters were open. The mayor talked about how they were making more. There were a lot of places you could go. They were shelters open in almost every school. That's how shelters work. They open in like every school, every safe place, essentially. And there are tons. They fill up. A lot of them take pets too. So you can even bring your pets. And I was getting frustrated with the narrative of no one can evacuate and they're going to die. Or if you have pets, you can't evacuate and there's no point. So you may as well stay. Because that is some of the misinformation that could have killed people. And I'm sure probably in other areas did.
I think to sum up what you just said, there are so many assumptions made from people who are feeling trapped in fight or flight. They're watching this content, and they pull out the whole, I would never XYZ, right? I would never choose to do that. I would never do that. I would never do that. I would always do this. I would, right? And so I think, again, like speaking to this idea of everybody feeling anxious as all friggin' hell, when they see something that feels triggering to that anxiety, which for some people was seeing that there were people staying in their homes. Like, for example, guys, where I am moving to isn't even in an evacuation zone. So if I was posting that I was staying, I could have been yelled at of like, you're so friggin' stupid. Like, you know, and again, that is called nuance. That is called context. And there are, like, it is violently concerning when someone like Lieutenant Dan makes his way on the news and says, I'm not leaving. And everybody's like, no, bro, you're going to die. And he's like, I'm not leaving. Lieutenant Dan was the extreme of evacuations. And the extreme of people who were choosing not to leave in the evacuation. But yeah, I think what you're referring to of this like yelling back and forth and people getting mad at everybody was, everybody was just so flippin' anxious about this. Everybody was so confused about what it was going to be. We didn't know. It was the first time this has happened since 1921 that Tampa Bay could have taken a direct hit. But also the storm is significantly larger and harder than it was in 1921. And so again, it's like this understanding that like everybody has a right to feel anxious and overwhelmed and concerned about all of this. But we got to learn how to pause. Like we have to learn to pause before we start screaming at people and assuming they're not doing this, which I can imagine, like for some of you, you could be like, well, that sounds rich given what you did at the beginning of the episode. But we're not screaming at people. We're calling attention to, they were just screaming in different ways.
Yeah.
And the chaos of everybody's content being posted in all different directions and everybody just projecting this most insane anxious energy in comments, in shares, in DMs, in posts, in all of it could have actually killed people. It could have confused people enough that locals were like, well, what do I not know? What am I not being made aware of? Why am I seeing all this on TikTok, but I'm not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a huge concern of mine too. As I can tell you, governments are trying to do a good job of posting on social media, posting these places because they know that's where people go for information. But I think it is a scary shift to me in thinking about how, right, and this could be a whole another episode, people trust their average influencer who doesn't always have good intent and doesn't have any sort of, right, at least, you know, on some level, your government is I mean, that's a whole another episode, but
yeah,
right, like, they have a duty to try to like be honest about what's going on and things like that. And to trust a random person down the street who may or may not even live in the area about what's going on. Or even like, I mean, you know, literally there were people online saying that this was like that hurricanes are man-made. Like,
I can't. That's when I was done. I was like,
yeah,
just shoot me into the sun. Like, it's so frustrating, which I think ties into, as you said just a second ago, like this could absolutely be its own episode, right? The complete crumbling of trust in legitimate sources.
Yes.
Which is partly what is causing all of this chaos, is nobody feels clear on who to turn to be like a calming, stabilizing force. And they think it's going to be this influencer, and then the influencer is even more anxious than them.
Yes. Or the influencer has bad intent.
Yeah. Or literally doesn't know, but they're pretending that they know because yes. they feel like they have to know. It's yes. it's just
the amount of, you know, the amount of like faux meteorologists that came out during this, that were talking all about hurricanes and they don't know anything about hurricanes.
The amount of lives I scrolled through, people being like, there's the storm.
Yeah.
In the Gulf. It's coming towards us. I'm like, this is just like not helpful.
No. No. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think the other thing that makes this like perfectly ripe for all of this to happen is hurricanes are really complicated and yes. complex.
Yes.
And they change all the time and yep. they're all like different, and literally meteorologists are honest that they can't even predict exactly when right. things will happen because they are impossible to predict because they wobble and move and do all sorts of strange right. things.
Right.
So the fact that even right professionals who study this for a living can't predict it, it makes it very easy to not trust things or to go off on your own tangent about what you think and not believe things.
Right.
I mean, even in evacuation zones, there are differences in elevations mm-hmm. in evacuation zones. Mm-hmm. Evacuation zones are just a generalized idea of the average foot above sea level
that you are at.
That you are in, but they are wrong. Some streets are higher. Some houses are built up and they don't even need to, like some people are in apartments. Mm-hmm. Obviously the higher you get in an apartment complex, the higher the wind. So then that's dangerous. And that's why a lot of us were just like, oh my God, like your window could crack. And mm-hmm. what are you doing, dude, staying in this, mm-hmm. you know, high rise. That's why it's nuanced. That's why you can't just blanket say mm-mm. everyone who's an idiot, like everyone who didn't evacuate is an idiot. But you also can't say no one can evacuate either because there's mm-hmm. nowhere for people to go. That was also wrong. And the amount of people who, again, I don't know what the death tolls are yet. It's only Friday. Mm-hmm. But I am fearful for the amount of people who didn't evacuate.
Yeah.
Because everyone online was like, the roads are all gone. There's nowhere yeah. to go. People are running out of gas. There's no gas.
Yeah.
That is also like alarming to me too when mm-hmm. people say that and – we're not talking about the other resources that are available to people like shelters and things mm-hmm. like that.
Misinformation is a direct threat to physical safety.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even saw this one post where this girl was like, oh, no one's telling us about this. And then she zooms out and it's like, there was like Hurricane Kirk that was like almost up by like Bermuda. Mm-hmm. And then there was another hurricane that was kind of coming. It was like southwest of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And then obviously like Milton was going to make its way across. Mm-hmm. And they were like, there's this rare phenomenon where all of the hurricanes could converge. And then nobody knows where it's going to go. And I was like, ma'am, get a hobby. And it cannot be this. There is nothing.
Hurricanes cannot cross the equator. So I don't know where they were, but if one of them was below the equator, they cannot cross.
I was like, it was just that, like over and over and over and over and over again. And like you were saying, it's so frightening to consider the ways maybe average people who aren't chronically online, people that don't pay attention as mm-hmm. much, which actually is a lot more people than you think.
And probably a good thing.
Very good thing. I'm jealous of
them. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably identify as chronically online.
Sorry. This is a support group. I like, yeah, it's how many of them got sent a post by some family member somewhere else and they're like, I saw this and blah, blah, blah. And it, yeah, it's just like, it's really unsettling how people are just so unwilling to trust legitimate sources. Mm-hmm. And how there's now so much distrust built up. This caused me to be reflective of kind of this larger sense of the level of anxiety we're all living under, which I think there absolutely are some natural like situations that are contributing to that 100%. Things do feel really spicy, mm-hmm. but I also think social media is magnifying that to the nth degree, because part of why yes. I've always been like interested in history is because it felt calming to me. It felt calming to know that there have always been times where things were chaotic and there was upheaval and there's been things going on for time immemorial. And if they had, you know, social media during the Tudor times when Henry was like killing all of his wives, like it would,
I don't even know what the Tudor times are, Sam.
Like Henry VIII. Sorry, guys. I just made a lot of assumptions myself. My bad. I'm adding to misinformation. So like Henry VIII, like Anne Boleyn, Catherine Howard. You don't know these people?
In Europe, I assume?
In England?
In England. Okay. I mean, generally, but it's been a long time since I took a world history class.
Well, I'm going to give you another one because if you're going to be friends with me, you have to know these things. So if you would like a podcast episode on the Tudors, let me know, everybody. But like, I think, or even like going to something more recent, like imagine if social media had been available like at the time of the Vietnam War. So again, like I'm kind of sharing this like very like niche take. Because mm-hmm. I want to give you calm that the world has always had chaos.
Yes.
The average person just never had mm-hmm. a direct channel to that. So I think I want to add to this, like, simply because there are crazy things happening in the world and there definitely is like an increase in the uncertainty and the instability and violence and all of that. Mm. We're not living through something new. We're not going through something that has never, ever happened before. Like, yes, there are some unprecedented things in relation to climate specifically, I think.
Yes, global warming is what I was thinking about.
But a lot of the geopolitical stuff, again, like I'm not sharing this to diminish at all what the reality is right now, but just to provide perspective that you don't have to be engaged with this all the time. And like I said earlier, if you are online and you are following like a crisis or something that is going on and it feels like too much, you are doing nothing mm-hmm. wrong because you have to disengage for a hot minute and go rest so that you can figure out what you can do to make your life and the lives of the people that you can directly impact better.
Yeah. And I was thinking too about, right, we're saying some of the people who are more average people who are just posting being like, I'm so scared. I'm so nervous. Does anyone feel this way? I think like get validation from people in your life. Use that to, I think more and more we're seeing this shift of people turn to the internet to get validation. And then they don't invest in their relationships. And they say, I don't have time to keep up with my friends and my family, but they're posting about, you know, being nervous about this. Instead of posting that, reach out to people in your life. Be vulnerable with them. I get it. It is sometimes easier to like post online about how you're feeling than engage with someone close to you because there's a more direct relationship there. But the fact that we are turning towards online things and not investing in people in our life is contributing to loneliness, declines mm-hmm. in mental health, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah, we hope you liked this live therapy session. That was really great.
Well, Sam, I think your whole perspective about like history and stuff like that is a good one. So maybe we'll have to think of an episode where you can share about things in the past to make people feel better about what's going on in the present.
Do not tempt me with a good time, ma'am. I will have the PowerPoint presentation ready to go. Yep.
Well, thank you all for listening. Yeah. This week has been awesome with our launch.
Yes. We're very excited.
Thank you for all the support. Please share, rate, review. We're an independent podcast. Sam and I are doing this all by ourselves. So any support you can give us allows us to continue to like move forward with the podcast.
Yeah, it's meant so much to us that so many of you have been downloading and listening. It's been a very exciting process, I think. Yeah. And to now have this out in the world feels really great. So
you're the best. We get to do stuff like this. Sam and I used to just talk about this stuff anyway, and now we can just record ourselves talking about it.
Yeah.
But our normal podcast release schedule is going to be Wednesdays. So even though this is going to come out before Wednesday, just know normally you can expect a new episode from us every Wednesday. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.